Here are the directions for part two. In this part, you will hear five passages, A through E. Each passage will be followed by two questions, number 11 through number 20. For each question, you will have 10 seconds to choose the best answer and mark your answer on your answer sheet. The passage and the questions will be given only once. Now, let's begin.
A. Life in Mexico's underwater caves. Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula is home to the most extensive network of coastal underwater caves on Earth. The water in many of the caves consists of two layers. The top layer is fresh water, which flows down from ground level. Because the caves extend all the way to the ocean, however, there is also salt water toward the bottom of them. Since salt water is denser than fresh water, the two layers remain separate. Between these layers is a mixed layer of fluid known as the halocline. This thin layer often amazes divers who enter these caves, as it looks like an underwater river when viewed from above. Because of the low levels of sunlight and oxygen in these caves, it was long thought that the organisms living there, including tiny crustaceans, fed primarily on dead plant material and other decaying organic matter that sinks down from the freshwater layer above. Now, however, researchers are exploring the possibility that the halocline layer could be home to bacteria that convert chemical energy taken from the surrounding rocks into a form of energy that other organisms in the caves can consume. Further research in these caves could provide clues about how Earth's earliest life forms survived in environments with little or no sunlight.
Questions. Number 11. What do we learn about the halocline layer? Number 12. What do researchers think about bacteria in the halocline layer of the caves? B. Medieval medicine. In the southern Italian city of Salerno, an institution widely regarded as the first Western medical school became internationally renowned around the 10th century, leading Salerno to become medieval Europe's center of medical scholarship. The expertise of its graduates was unmatched anywhere else in Europe, as the school's founders had based the curriculum not only on medical knowledge inherited from the ancient Greeks, but also on translations of Arabic medical texts. These latter texts tended to be more scientific in nature, and many of them were translated into Latin for the first time by scholars affiliated with the school. The school in Salerno was unusual for the time, because it welcomed female medical students and even employed female physicians as instructors. The most prominent of these was a doctor named Trotta, who, in the 12th century, wrote numerous works on medicine, and her most famous work focused on the health needs of women. In it, Trotta shocked many by claiming that men's physical problems, rather than those of women, could sometimes be responsible for women not becoming pregnant. Trotta's texts spread throughout Europe and were consulted for hundreds of years.
Questions. Number 13. What does the speaker say about the curriculum of the school in Salerno? Number 14. What was one thing Trotta claimed that surprised people at the time?
C. Jellyfish dreams. To many scientists, the question of whether jellyfish sleep seemed a simple one. It is generally accepted that sleep is dependent on the existence of a brain, something that jellyfish lack entirely. Recently, though, researchers studied a jellyfish species called Cassiopeia, which makes pulsing movements every second or so. An imaging system revealed the pulses are 30% less frequent at night. One possible explanation is that it is a mechanism for conserving energy rather than true sleep. However, experiments revealed that if the jellyfish were disturbed throughout the night, they became less active the next day, in the same way that humans are fatigued after a poor night's sleep. In contrast, when the jellyfish were disturbed during the day, there was no reduction in later activity levels. These experiments suggest that sleep may not be exclusively limited to brains. Instead, sleep may be built into neurons, the specialized cells that send signals, such as pain or physical sensations, between various parts of the body. If jellyfish really do sleep, it would have great evolutionary significance. Rather than being a product of brain development, it would mean sleep is much more ancient, dating back to when creatures were controlled by neurons alone.
Questions. Number 15. What is one thing researchers discovered about Cassiopeia jellyfish? Number 16. What do the experiments on Cassiopeia suggest?
D. Slower marathons. A report based on the running times of over 20 million marathoners in the US indicates that non-professional runners' speeds are declining. Since 1980, the average time it takes to complete a marathon has increased by approximately 20%. Several explanations have been proposed, including the increasing number of novice runners in recent years. The popularity of marathons has been on an upward trend, with participation shooting up by approximately 60% over the past few decades. However, despite the reality that more people in the US are running marathons than ever before, these theories seem unlikely. For one thing, statistics indicated a decrease in speed regardless of both gender and age. Furthermore, even in races that target more serious runners by implementing strict qualifying standards, such as the Boston Marathon, average finishing times are getting slower. The latest research shows a strong correlation between running times and increases in obesity and other lifestyle-related illnesses such as diabetes. Given that 80% of adults fail to follow national health guidelines for engaging in physical activities, it seems likely that the trend is a consequence of the deterioration of overall fitness levels in the US population.
Questions. Number 17. What do we learn about the decrease in running speeds? Number 18. What is the most likely reason for the change in speed?
E. Underground trees. While the vast majority of the world's trees exist above the ground, a few species grow below it, with just a few twigs or leaves visible above the surface. Found in the grass-covered savannas of Africa and South America, some of these species can live for thousands of years. One theory is that they evolved that way to escape winter frosts. Growing underground could also be a defense against plant-eating wildlife. However, The greatest diversity of underground trees is found in a region where frosts are rare and animals are scarce. Therefore, researchers studied the influence of intense wildfires that spread quickly through the savannas using grass as fuel. The results of the study show that, in most cases, evolving to grow underground was likely a response to these huge blazes that would otherwise have made it nearly impossible to survive in the savannas. Despite all the survival benefits the trees have found in their underground habitat, there is one significant drawback. Because they do not reproduce sexually, the plants that make up these underground forests are actually clones of each other. That means they lack genetic diversity and are therefore more vulnerable as a species than ordinary trees when threatened by bacteria or viruses.
Questions. Number 19. What does the study suggest is the most common reason for trees to evolve to grow underground? Number 20. According to the speaker, what is one problem faced by underground trees?